All right, very good. Okay, I will count us in. I'll edit this part out or whatever.
All right,
very good. In 3, 2, joining me right now is a man that I'm so excited. I haven't talked to him in quite some time, but this seems like a very good time to catch up. He is the head Muay Thai instructor and, of course, one of Max Holloway's cornermen. It's Ivan Flores. Ivan, nice to talk to you. I haven't seen you or I haven't talked to you in quite some time. It is good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you as well, man.
Well, I'm not even sure where to start this, except I guess the obvious. Where does that rank? Where does that moment with Max and the UFC has subsequently released the footage of you guys in the corner? Is there any way to tell us what you were feeling in that moment?
You know, this ranks up way up there. I mean, probably first or second. Definitely. Beating Aldo in Rio was pretty big too. But this one was just a little different. You know, I think with everything that's happened over the last few years and whatnot, watching Max evolve and in a way kind of like this second coming, you know, you can feel it again. You can feel that second coming again, that motivation, that excitement and whatnot. And then to go into a fight like this, this magnitude, and to have the doubts again, to have the negative, the negative comments, when a fight first got announced, just the things that people were saying, you know, just what was going to happen to Max and everything else and whatnot. And it just lit a fire under our butts. I mean, just, we wanted this one so bad. We wanted that finish so bad. Just to make a statement. So, gosh, that feeling in the corner was just, man, it was like a Braveheart moment, you know. it just fired us up.
You had to be feeling good even before that, though, right? So it looked to me like Max won the first three. Justin had a good fourth, but then Max was winning again in the fifth. So it wasn't like you guys were like nail biting exactly. Oops, did I lose you? Oh no! I'll end the recording. Hold on. I'll start that one over. You got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I can stitch it all together. Don't worry.
All right.
I'll reset, which was, but it's not like you guys were nail biting exactly before. I thought Max was winning the first three, lost the fourth, but was reclaimed the fifth, which to me was maybe one of the more impressive things about the whole effort. Is there a way to sort of assess what your mood was before Max did his craziness?
No, for sure. We definitely feel like we had the fight, you know. We feel like we definitely had the fight. I think more than anything, we knew he was going to come out. He was going to push hard. So we wanted to make sure that Max was in good positioning. As Justin was going to come after him and whatnot. We were looking for him in that fifth round to make sure that, you know, we didn't want to have to run. But we wanted to make sure that we had our feet underneath us when Justin extended and wanted to kind of pick him off. And once Justin settled, we wanted to make a good push, you know. So it felt good, you know. And then, we circled back 10 seconds left and he did the point down and whatnot. And, you know, the chaos happened. But at the same time, like, you know, we've been through it before. And I think this time around, you know, I just felt like, you know, before just going through the camp, I told him that I was like, you know, we're good. We're good and close. You know, I think we're going to be good on the outside, but I think we're good and close. I feel like we're much better in the pocket. I feel like the boxing was in our favor. You know, so just the way that I anticipated, or should I say we anticipated that Justin was going to throw his punches. When that 10 seconds went down and he pointed down to the ground, there was a little bit of nail biting, but at the same time, I was actually pretty calm. Until he slept in, then I lost it.
Yeah, you and the rest of the world, I think. We were all, it was hard to contain that moment. Like, here's the thing, right? And let me ask this, and I mean this quite sincerely, like just on pure knockout terms, don't get me wrong, it's great. But the reason why it's a moment is not just because it was a good knockout, right? Like, I understand the joy that you must have felt. And certainly as a fight fan, it was electric, but there was a certain significance to the moment as well. It felt like there was a certain kind of demon that had been exorcised or a certain kind of new height he had reached. Do you feel that way, right? Like, the knockout itself was great, but you've seen the Joaquin Buckley knockout where he was doing the parry and then he spins into it with the kick. I mean, that's an acrobatic knockout if ever there was one. But this one had more significance to it. I wonder if you could speak to that.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like I said, there was a build-up to this one. You know, there's a build-up leading up to this fight. I felt like we were put in a position where we had, I think Max felt it too, like he had something to prove. And it was just a kind of an awesome, awesome thing. Whenever we're faced with something like that, man, Max really rises to the occasion and then some, you know, it supersedes our expectations or even our hopes, you know. But the way the fight built, you know, to go through each round, it felt like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, it's pretty convincing, you know, we're better. We're doing the thing, you know, we're up ahead and so forth, and not by fluke, but we're just out fighting him, you know. And then for it to build that way in the last round, and Justin makes his last stand sort of thing, comes after Max, and Max does that thing. It just, everything built. And so I think, like, we all felt that almost like the emotional roller coaster a little bit, where it's like, you know, I don't know if how to better say it, but like, it's such a great, like, almost like underdog story.
I think that's exactly what it was. I mean, there's so many questions about this fight that I want to get to, but I think that we have to actually go back a couple of years. I was there, UFC 276, when Max lost to Alexander Volkanovski for the third time. And of the three, I think it is fair to say that was the most dominant one. Certainly the first two have a fair amount of dispute about them, but the third one, it doesn't. It felt like at the time, as an outside observer, not that Max was hardly done or anything, but it felt like the road to the title at 145 was certainly closed. And at 155, it felt like he was outgunned. I wonder what the sense was in your camp at that time following that loss. I believe it was July of 2022.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a tough one, because I think we actually had a good fight camp for that third Volk fight, you know. And then that first round, you know, the whole mantra for it, man, everything felt good, you know. The first round, we had wanted to start pretty quick, you know, and that didn't quite happen quite as much. So second round going into it, we had talked in a corner, and we were going to start speeding things up and stop waiting for the guy, you know what I mean? But just getting after a little bit more, giving more to think about and whatnot. And they start to go, you know, Alex had a good game plan for that fight. They're kind of being more first and third and whatnot. And you got cut, and the cut just changed everything. You know, it just changed everything. We started to make some of those adjustments before the cut. In that second round, and that cut happened, man. That cut was nasty. I remember talking to the cut man and stuff, Rob Monroe, and he was like, man, I can't stop that bleeding. All I can basically do is just try my best to kind of keep him in the fight. But the artery that it had severed, he said, there's just no way I can stop it, you know. And Max is one of those guys where it's like, it doesn't matter if he's having a hard time seeing or whatever it is, whatnot. I mean, the guy is just, he's that guy that's just never out of the fight, you know? So we let him go, you know, we let it go and whatnot. The bleeding was kept down just enough to make sure that it wasn't a just huge mess, and, you know, the referee had to look into it and so forth. But it was tough, man. It was a tough loss. And I think that loss completely change, you know. I think Max took some time off, he reset a little bit and whatnot, but I think the very, very next fight after that, I mean, the change started to happen again, you know. It's almost like he was that contender again, you know. It was a mix of the maturing, you know, of a champion, but it was almost like he had returned to like a contender status that had something to prove every single fight. You know, it's been a long time since I think he had to feel that, and a definite maturing happened. I think for all of us, you know, going through that, and it's just been different since. you know, it's been different since from camp to camp. It's just, I can honestly say that we're growing and maturing, and he's not the same. You know, it's like Max 3.0 now.
In addition to a renewed competitive spirit, would you also say that it's fair to look at how Max has performed since that loss? Obviously, Saturday being the apex example of this, but that it, I feel like there's been a little bit of, not a little bit, actually a fair amount of technical and strategic improvement. And there's been a little bit more boldness to his game. Not that there wasn't, like, for example, in the both Aldo fights, there was plenty of it, but it felt like there was a greater emphasis, let's say, more recently. Would you say that's a fair characterization?
Yeah, definitely. Very fair. I think it's like a pattern. You know, I think when you have someone that's dominant for a while, you know, it's almost difficult. It's almost difficult for them to really evolve, you know. And sometimes when they go through setbacks and so forth, you know, you may get the lessons from it. You may not. I think for us with our team, we always try to get better with each fight, whether it's a win or whatnot, you know, win or a loss, it's there's always something to get better from, you know. But it's exceptionally different when you actually go through a string of losses. You go through a string of losses and it's like, whoa, what just happened here? What is going on? Why is this happening? And so forth, you know. It does something different. And if you want to stay in this and you want to be at the top, you know what I mean, you've got to look at, sometimes it's not even anything big, sometimes it's just the little things. And I think, you know, he's worked really hard. He's definitely worked on his power, you know, so he definitely punches hard and so forth. But I think he has a different belief in himself, like the young Max that went on that long, you know, win streak, where he's like, doesn't matter, man, I'm gonna get it done, you know. And that attitude, like, is so contagious, just fires us all up.
If I may, going back to the Volkanovski fight, I see a big part of what ended up happening in the third one was, I believe Volkanovski was circling to his left the whole time, and it just felt like Max kind of had a hard time finding him with the jab. What was the big takeaway? And again, the cut, I don't want to in any way say is not a huge factor. I mean, that thing was a mess. But discounting that for just a moment, what was the biggest lesson that you took from that fight about why Alex had success?
Yeah, I think, you know, with that particular fight, the way he was circling so far, I wouldn't say it was a circling so much. We had planned for him to move. It was more of the one addition that he really kind of brought to the table was that they're waiting for us to counter, you know, they're kind of counting on us trying to stay in his face and so forth, you know? So what Alex did really well in that fight was he got off first, you know, he didn't wait so much. He got off quick and then he moved. And when we followed the counter, he'd dip his head and throw that overhand right and a left hook and whatnot. So it was more of like when he moved, we thought, you know, he would continue moving. So we kind of flush him, but he would stop. He would stop, fire, and then boom, right back out and everything. So the movement was, I guess, in a way, a little bit misleading that he was going to continue to escape. He was going to get off first, kind of like the first fight, right? He would get off first, and then he would move. He would get off first, then he would move. So we'd have to like track him down. But this one, he'd mixed up the rhythm where he would move, he'd strike, get off first, you know, we'd come in the counter, then he'd be ready for it and come right back. And then other times he would go ahead and get off first, we'd go to get after him, he would just clear out. So it was an awesome, awesome mix of the rhythm in there and whatnot. So he did a good job.
Just a timeout for a moment. I don't know if you can hear it, but I think your dog is whining. Do you have a dog?
Is it?
Yeah. Do you have a dog? Yeah. I can hear your dog whining. I don't know if you want to. I don't know. I don't know if they need a if they're gonna take a dump in your house or something.
Let me go check that real quick.
I got a couple of dogs too. So when they start whining, my alarm goes off, you know.
Yeah, there you go. You're good. All right, we're good.
All right, ready to pick it back up? Here we go. I'll pick it right up from there. Okay. Let's talk about Max's power. So now we have two fights in a row with one hitter quitters. And of course, the bigger significance there is one of those was at 145. The last of these was at 155. So I actually have two parts to this question. Did Max ever say to you, or did you guys as a team ever have a conversation like, hey, you know, we were really competitive in that Poirier fight, but he probably had on that night the better firepower of the two. That's something we want to work on if we're going to go back to 55 or perhaps just in general. And I guess, two, are even you a little bit surprised at how far it has carried? I mean, that punch on Gaethje is like nothing I've ever seen out of someone hitting him.
Yeah, for sure. I think like in the second Poirier fight, we would hurt him. You know, we'd hurt Poirier, but more with like strategic combinations, and that sort of thing. You know what I mean? And definitely the difference I think was the fact that Poirier had so much power, and when he swung, he would steal back the moments. You know, so if he swung and landed, you know, even if it was a swinging a blind shot just to get Max off and whatnot, if he landed, it just really stole the moment, you know? So that was tough with that. So I think we went through a little phase where we started to really try and think about like, what is the issue here? You know what I mean? Like, are the judges, you know, with the judges and whatnot nowadays, you know, it's watching fights, not even necessarily our fights, you know, just watching fights, period. And what are the judges looking for? You know, effective striking, just damage. The guy that looks more worse for the wear, is he losing? So, but at the same time, holding true to ourselves, you know what I mean? Some guys are just blessed with one-shot power. We're not trying to turn, you know, Max into that guy. But definitely when we hit the person, you know what I mean? If we can hit them with a little more force and hit the person with a blunter object, you know, like a harder squeeze on the fist. I mean, just small little things and whatnot. So over the last 2 years, especially the last year and a half, I would say that's really been changing a lot. The last year when he hits now, it's just like, man, it is hard. It is stiff. It's like a very, 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 very hard object you can hit with nowadays and whatnot.
From my vantage point, it hasn't come with a trade-off in precision. Like, he was always very precise, good timing, good mechanics. There's been no trade-off. He's just added it to it.
Yeah, exactly. So we haven't changed as far as, you know, the work that I do with him. We haven't changed the way we strike as far as just trying to work on like one-shot power, you know, or any sort of like ridiculous like training. You know what I mean? We actually do exactly what we do from before. You know, as far as volume, movement, sharp angles, and a bunch of other stuff with distance control and whatnot, that's never changed. It's more of just like the work he's done in strength and conditioning, and how well he cerebrally transfers that to our training. You know, even if we do some, you know, we do certain bag drills or whatever is whatnot, you know, there might be a little emphasis on, you know, like, hey, like, when you hit now, I want you like to squeeze your fist as hard as you can. You know, one of the things that happens with guys is this, they get tired of squeezing their fist really hard. Sometimes when they land, you know, that impact that it makes might not be quite as good as it could be. It's kind of equivalent to like someone that works like a tough blue collar job, you know, they're a laborer or whatnot. They're swinging a hammer all day, or whatever it is, or a mechanic that's wrenching all day. They have such incredible muscle endurance with squeezing a hard, hard fist, you know? And that's why, like, you know, in the gym, those guys punch really, really hard and so forth. So we've kind of had that type of approach to it, and it's been working out.
the move to 155 when he did it against Poirier, not to say that it didn't play, didn't help him. I'm sure that it did. It just felt like this time it went better. It looked like he wore the weight better. It looked like he got more usefulness out of the extra 10 pounds this time. And I realize this is a strength and conditioning issue, not a pure striking issue, but I guess just from your perspective and being in his camp, what can you say about this time putting the weight back on compared to the Poirier fight?
Oh yeah, massive difference. You know, Coach Darren at Tactical Strength, he's been with Max forever, you know, and I'm just, he had 12 weeks. We've been waiting for a fight. Max was pushing for a fight and whatnot. And we got notified 12 weeks out for that fight. So for the Justin fight. Darren had 12 weeks to get him fit for this. You know what I mean? But his goal, you know, was like he said, was to make him resilient at that weight, you know, improve strength and whatnot to the best that you can in 12 weeks. Because you can't necessarily just make the guy strong in 12 weeks. It's just not enough time. You're gonna get him stronger for sure, but not much, because with increased strength is gonna eventually come increased muscle mass, right? And so that happens and so forth. But at a certain point, it's gotta stop because we still have a weight cut to consider and whatnot. So he had to like cram it all in within 12 weeks, get him more powerful, create that muscle endurance or whatnot, but keep him as dynamic, as athletic as possible. You know, and it was amazing. I'm pretty amazed what was able to happen in 12 weeks. The first fight, the Dustin fight, the Poirier fight, we had, I want to say, for like 4 or 5 weeks or something like that. It wasn't much time, and Max was actually heavier. Not the muscle department, but in the fat department. You know, his body mass index wasn't so great. You know, so when we rolled into that fight, it essentially was like a Max that had the cardio, but he didn't have the body composition. You know, so when he wore the weight, as you guys saw, he had kind of that muffin top look, as he calls it. You know, so it definitely made a massive difference. You know, gosh, if we had the second part of your fight, man, that would have been, it would be exciting to watch.
For sure. Well, there could be another one. One never knows. But all right, let's talk about the fight with Justin Gaethje. You've already mentioned a couple of things, but let me ask the question this way. Given what you guys wanted to happen, what you trained for, what you planned for, what would you say from your end went right? Nothing ever goes perfect in a fight, but there probably were some big things you guys wanted to accomplish. What were those? Knockout notwithstanding.
Okay, for sure. The number one thing was this. It was wanting to make a statement and have a type of performance where we didn't get beat up. You know, everybody that fights Justin gets wrecked, you know, and we thought about it too, in a sense that, man, like taking this fight with Justin, you know what I mean, is an incredible opportunity, but at the same time, there's a reality of it that even if we win, we may not be able to fight the rest of this year, because we may be having to heal up, you know what I mean? So that was a big part right there. That was something that was really important. You know, obviously get the win, but you don't want to end up just getting cracked from this guy, man. I mean, the dude is hard. He's a powerful guy. And the thing about Justin is that for whatever it is, I think he's one of those guys that just wants to do more and more in the gym than it's required of him. And so it translates, man. It translates, because even when he's tired, he can sum up that one shot power from round one all the way to round five. You know, so that was the biggest thing, was making sure that he never landed anything significant like that, and didn't put an accumulation of it on us. So that worked out really well. Max's face looked, you know, the post-fight pictures and whatnot, you've seen him and whatnot, but couple of, you know, little abrasions, but other than that, I mean, there's no bruising whatsoever, no swelling whatsoever. I mean, he was good. He really didn't get touched. We wanted to, something that we had worked on was making sure that we were hard to find without moving too much, without running, you know what I mean, without having to like be on the bike all the time. We wanted to be difficult to find, We accomplished that. And I think we made it difficult for Justin to just kind of start. We kind of tried to make sure that whenever the fighting happened, wherever it happened, it was on our terms. I think Max did an awesome job of that.
Couple of individual weapons I'd like to talk about that were in full use. Actually got a little bit of conversation after the fight, which was the either the turning or the spinning back kick. And Max was doing it from either stance. This was like a central weapon. What was kind of funny was people were saying, I'd never seen Max do that before. And I'm like, really? Because I have. I've seen him do that a bunch. But to be fair, it does seem like the frequency of it went up in this fight.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely brought it back. We've been looking at bringing it back the last couple of fights. Just getting more, just a reminder, because I mean, this was one of his big weapons when he first got into the UFC. So just bringing that back into play, at some point or whatnot. I mean, like working on these other tools, the boxing and the knees and all these other weapons, whatnot, kind of took away a little bit from that spinning back kick, and just sometimes strategy wise we just didn't put it in and whatnot. But with the way Justin moved and so forth, he definitely, with a traditional boxing training, liked to circle to Max's weak side whenever he was in orthodox stance and whatnot, and just felt like the way he blocks things, we just kind of felt like, man, this is gonna if he shells up and whatnot, this is gonna provide a potential opportunity for us and whatnot. And it just was kind of a bonus, that he started ducking into him a bit.
And of course that broke his nose, and that probably did play a huge role in the fight as well. But I'm so glad you mentioned it, because my next question was going to be the defensive reactions, getting him to shell and then duck a little bit, or at least bend at the waist. That must have been something you guys identified pre-fight, and that there were ways to elicit this based on any number of different things that Max could do, right?
Definitely, for sure. We wanted to see how he was going to react first, right? Typically, Justin likes to draw guys out and whatnot, and he starts to smash them with explosive shots. So we knew he was gonna do that a little bit. We just didn't know for how long, because we were coming up for 45. We didn't know how much he was going to respect Max's power, so we were like, okay, he might draw for a little bit till he kind of gets things figured out, but after that he may start to press, so how he was going to react, how he's going to move and everything like that, that played into when we got going, so as he started to draw things out a little bit here and there and whatnot, there was this thing where he was being really, really patient. And so the spinning back kick, knowing that if he's moving towards his right, Max's weak side, there's going to be a limited way that he's gonna react to it and whatnot. So it just worked out perfectly. It was going to be one of those things where Max times it right, creates the move, pushes him over, he moves over, and we throw that spinning back kick and whatnot. We knew that if we landed it, it was going to be good. And even if we missed it, there probably wouldn't be any consequences where he'd beat a Conor. So yeah, we're definitely worked well with that.
If I'm looking at this right, I believe this is right, at least in his UFC career. I don't know about his fights with Luis Palomino, but no one has landed on Justin Gaethje more than Max Holloway. Max Holloway having 181 significant strikes landing in this. You mentioned kind of keeping, like, making Max making Justin fight on his terms. Isn't part of that, yes, there were good, there were combination punching, there was like 4 or 5 strike combinations, but also just like touching him with like the teep or just with the jab, or a basic combat. Like, there's just a lot of, it was a bit of a volume play, wasn't it, right, to disrupt his rhythm, and then Max could then find his opportunities by just staying active.
Yeah, definitely. Being disruptive was very important. Making sure that we mixed up our rhythm, and that rhythm was going to have to be mixed between combinations, setup shots, disruptive with the teeps, even just little things where he would just touch Justin's leg or the shin or whatnot. Just little things that would cause him to either pause or kind of reset. You know, just like he just didn't like starting from that point. You know what I mean? Just kind of constantly putting him into that sort of feel. Like let me give me a little bit of a reset. You know, and it just kind of kept playing out. The small feints too. Max did a great job with a lot of the small feints and so forth. And you know, a lot of people may not really see it or realize it, but sometimes if a guy's about ready to mount up an attack, he's trying to dial in and so forth, and you do a small feint, another small feint, then you move position, then you go and touch the guy's leg, and then come back again, then you hit him, you know, you throw a combination, step out. I mean, it's just like, it's so difficult because the guy never quite lets you get into a rhythm. You know, you never get a chance to really settle. And I think like making sure that Justin wasn't able to settle too much, not for, at least not in long moments, was definitely key.
We don't have all the time in the world, so I have to ask about this part, which is obviously everyone's going to ask what's next. There's been a lot of back and forth already this week in the media between Max and Ilya Topuria, but let me just ask you, not, I don't care about the beef. I just care about the, what you see in Ilya Topuria. Obviously his fight against Volk, there are questions about whether Volk was really recovered given the proximity of the previous knockout, but clearly it is quite obvious that Topuria is a force to be reckoned with. What do you see in him when you watch him fight?
With Topuria, I mean, I think he's a pretty good boxer. You know, I think his hand speed stands out. It looks like he punches pretty hard. He's aggressive, you know, he's got a lot of confidence, you know, so, but the biggest physical takeaways would be that he definitely has hand speed. I would say in a way though, he almost seems like an oversized bantamweight, you know, just cause his frame and his stature, and then along with his speed, it does seem like he's like a kind of an oversized bantamweight a little bit, that has the attributes and has the skill to fight up at featherweight. You know, so with that being said, you know what I mean? I think he still has that, that mindset that since he feels like he has a firepower or whatnot, that he likes to come forward, you know, which is something that, you know, would be pretty awesome. You know, we definitely like a guy that wants to come forward against Max. You know, Max is really good at fighting backwards as well as, you know, taking a guy that wants to stay there, you know, or be there to land on him with intention. I feel like, you know, we're really good. Max is really good with dealing with that, you know. So we like what he brings. Usually guys that have that type of offensive firepower, you know, it kind of usually works in our favor because they really believe in it. You know, they want to land, they believe in it. So they're going to tend to be a little bit more there in front of you. The interesting thing would be to see at what point, if that fight does happen, you know, at what point does Ilya turn into a grappler, you know, because I think that has to happen.
I suspect that it probably does play a role. Yeah, I don't think that's in any way crazy. That being said, were you surprised his fight with Volkanovski went the way that it did, or did you expect it?
You know, it was a question mark for me, to be honest with you. I had thought if Volk was recovered, I thought Volk was going to be too much for him because Volk is smart. They put together great camps and whatnot. And Volk is really good at following a game plan. You know, you can see it on his face. If he does something, he extends himself, whatever it is, he'll catch himself. He'll talk to himself, he'll shake his head, and then he'll get right back on the workhorse. You know what I mean? But the question was definitely answered. I think going into it, I thought it was going to be too soon. I know they pushed it back a month, but I just thought it was just too soon, you know. So multiple things, right? Multiple things. We never seen that happen, you know what I mean? As far as, you know, Volk's taking a loss like that, being stopped. But what we have seen in the past, you know, at least in our fight with him, is that when we touched him, it hurt him, you know, even if it was a glancing shot. If we hit him pretty decently, you know what I mean, we saw, you know, folks would react from it, Massa's made him buckle a couple of times where he went down to the ground, popped back up. So that definitely was in my head. And so when the fight had played out, it started up. I just, man, everything looked wrong. To be honest, everything looked wrong. He didn't look confident. He looked like he was still worried about being touched and if he would be okay if he got touched. Not to say that Ilya didn't do a good job. He for sure did. He put the pressure on him and so forth. But Volk's usually, he'll never. I mean, he was like doing things like had his hands up and he would lean his head back with his chin up to try and get his head further away. It's something like someone like you really green would do, that I see with some of my students that just start sparring and whatnot. So that was uncommon because usually his head is under his feet. He moves really well. He's got good eyes and so forth, but he would punch. And if you watch, I'm sure you watch a fight in good detail. But have you ever seen him miss throw things from that far away? His jab, he was throwing from a mile away, and he was missing by a lot. His low kicks, he was throwing from really far away, unset up, and he was missing by like a mile. So that right there, I was like, oh, something's wrong. So I don't think he was able to fight to the best of his abilities, and I definitely think his head was compromised. Not taking anything away from Ilya, but in my opinion, there was definitely a difference in Volk's performance. And I think, like, honestly, I'm not sure who gets the shot, Ilya, whether it's Max or Volk's, but for Volk's sake, I mean, I would like to see him heal up and maybe take a little more time off to make sure he comes back. You know what I mean? Comes back full force, strong, healthy, and whatnot, and be able to do himself, the proper justice, being, a great fighter that he is. Just come back healed up.
As a team or as a coach, do you all want a fourth fight with Volk? Is that even a thing y'all think about?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We want that fourth fight with Volk. We want to, we know that if we ever got that, we'd have to make a statement and we have to finish him. Getting a decision win, I don't think would be good, but I don't think that would really rest easy in Max. Max wants to like dominate. Getting another fight with Poirier, we want that back too. I mean, it's crazy to ask for all these rematches when we've lost multiple times, but we want that one back too. We got a loss against Connor. We want that one back as well. That's pretty much kind of it. Those are the three guys that are still in the game that Max has lost to, and I don't think I think it would be unfinished business not to get those back.
Well, I mean, they all sound pretty great to me. Hey, man, let me just say this. I would call you and your team and the team behind Max underrated, but after Saturday, I don't know if I can call y'all underrated anymore. That really puts you on the map in a pretty significant way. And I was talking to someone about this, and what's kind of interesting to me is, in closing, I just wanted to say, it's amazing that Max has shown incredible loyalty, right? Like, he's always been with the same team, and you guys to him, like, there's loyalty all the way around. But more than that, what really stands out is not just that Max achieved, but that he had some difficulty and then leveled up again, all while staying loyal. Like, everybody grew and got better from this experience in ways that is simply undeniable at this point. You have to know, man, that's pretty rare and that's pretty special. I hope you guys took inventory of not just the result, but the process that got you here.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. That means a lot, especially coming from you. It is, man. Like, I tell him after every fight, man. I don't assume anything. After every single fight, whether we win or lose, I have an expectation of myself, as Ed does everyone else that's part of this, that we got to be better than we were last. We can't, I myself, I move on pretty fast. We won. I've already moved on. I'm not hanging on to this and trying to milk any accolades or whatnot. I mean, I've moved on from this, taking lessons that we learned from him. I've already like run through in my head adjustments that we need to make, that I like, for the future. I'm already looking at potential scenarios of who we may fight next. I'm already doing my breakdown of that, so I move on pretty quick. But I tell Max, after the fights, man, just, I don't assume anything. Like, we're all as a team, what I mean? We're all very grateful just to be part of this process and whatnot. And it'd be a disservice for us to not, try and evolve each time for a guy like as special as Max. You know what I mean? This ride could be over tomorrow. And just, you know, I want to make the most out of every single day that we have, you know. So, especially with the type of loyalty, you know what I mean? He can work with anybody that he wants to in the world. He can work with any team that he wants to in the world. And just the fact that he trusts us as much as he does, he believes as much as he does. Yeah, it's humbling. It's an amazing feeling, but it also comes with a lot of responsibility, you know, so we take that into effect too.
Looks like it's working to me. I really appreciate your time. What a performance, what a team, what a moment for everyone, including just observers like me. I really appreciate you talking to me today, and I don't know what's next to your point, but looks like a lot of great fights for everybody, and I can't wait to see. Congratulations on everything, Ivan, and thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Always great talking to you.
And that is it. I will end recording. There we go.